Unfortunately, there's a lot of rest for the wicked when it comes to the Atlanta Braves as their offseason begins, as the postseason is underway. And yes, I am staring at a screen right now watching Max Fried, 19-game winner, lead the Yankees against the Red Sox. But that's not what we're talking about right now as we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline on Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Grant McCauley, our Braves insider and host of From the Diamond, joins me now to put a bow on the Braves season. Grant, they finished 76-86, but that doesn't tell the whole story as this team was one of the hottest teams in baseball to end the season. What did you see from the turnaround over the latter last few weeks?
Well, I think a few things that you could point at, not the least of which was the return of Chris Sale, a return to form for Spencer Strider, the resurgence of Michael Harris, the consistently great play of Drake Baldwin, the rise of Hurston Waldrip, getting Ha-Seong Kim, I think certainly helped. Ozzie Albies was swinging the bat well until he suffered a season-ending injury, which I'm sure we can get into. Matt Olson had a good second half as well and closed out his season on a hot streak. You start adding all of those things up. And, oh, by the way, that guy Ronald Acuna Jr. started playing like Ronald Acuna Jr. again later as well. So it just looked like the Braves team. And Chris Sale said this. This was the team. This is the way we expected to play all year. So do we know it's in there? Yes. Does it take away all the disappointment? Of course not. But I think that there is a case to be made for this. Even though the momentum of one season doesn't carry into another, they just needed to remind themselves in some ways who they are and what they're capable of. And I think that that is what I took away from the surge in September and the more encouraging signs and performances that we saw.
A couple of pressing issues for the Braves to take care of as the offseason begins. You mentioned Kim. What do you know about the latest with his contract? I believe he has a player option for $16 million. Is it a no-brainer that he picks it up, or is there a chance he's going to be looking for a long-term deal?
No, I mean, he's a Scott Boras client, so you can kind of choose your own adventure there. I mean, that's just not ever going to be a foregone conclusion. Really, the way that he ended up with his contract was because of his shoulder surgery that he underwent in August of 2024. He still was able to get a two-year deal worth at least $29 million, 13 this year, and the $16 million player option that you mentioned. So the ball is in his court. He has within 5 days after the World Series to make that decision and whether he wants to just go with that option or if he wants to opt out and become a free agent again. The Braves could also look at the possibility of trying to get an extension done, saying, okay, well, that $16 million, if you're interested in that, we're interested in having you longer. What does that look like? Is that 3 years and 60? I don't know that at his age you're necessarily looking at that 5, 6, or 7 year deal like a Dansby Swanson got when he was a free agent a couple of years younger than Ha-Seong Kim is. But those are kind of the particulars, I guess, in trying to add some context to it. He had a down year, certainly, but the way he finished the season, the way he was playing, and the fact that he showed clubs that he's healthy and able to play shortstop again, it wouldn't shock me if he did decide, hey, I do want to go out and be a free agent, particularly with the agent that he has. I mean, they're kind of an all-in philosophy as far as Boras is concerned. And, you know, say what you like about agents and Boras in particular, but his job is to make sure that players get paid what they're worth. The team's job is to try to pay them what you feel that they're worth. And I think the chasm and the subjectivity between those two sides is something we can argue about for a very long time.
With another season, unfortunately, afflicted by injuries and subpar performance based on, to his credit, the lofty standards he set for himself, Grant, do you believe there's a real chance Ozzie Albies has played his last game as a Brave?
I don't really think that that's the case here. The real thing that's hanging over this like a cloud is the fact that he suffered another broken bone. And this is the wrist, the foot, the toe. I mean, he's had to go through it here over, like, what, 3 of the last 5 years now that he's dealt with this kind of thing. This one, I don't think it necessarily is the death knell for the Braves picking up his $7 million club option because they have to pay him $4 million in a buyout. So this has been my question, really, and especially once he started swinging the bat well in the second half. Do you really want to let Ozzie Albies walk and go potentially get back to being himself over $3 million? I don't think that they do. I don't know how much that line of thought has changed just based on it's a hammock bone. It's not something that should cost him the entire winter, but I think we saw something, Chris, throughout the course of the season that may not have ever necessarily and may not ever be expressly put out there by Ozzie Albies, but I just kind of wonder how long it took him to really feel like himself after the broken wrist last year, because if you remember, he came back and hit right-handed exclusively for the final few games of the season, and then, of course, to be back in the postseason. So swinging the bat left-handed, you know, over the course of the winter, into the spring, and even into this year, who knows when and if he was back to 100%, but it certainly seemed like he was more of himself in the second half than he was in the first.
Talking all things Braves with our insider, Grant McCauley. Make sure you check out From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts. The $64,000 question, obviously, does Brian Snicker return? No clear answers as of yet. Are you hearing anything one way or the other?
Well, this is obviously the week where that decision is going to be made. That's the indications that I've gotten. I'm sure those conversations have been happening pretty much beginning on Monday, the first day of the offseason for the Braves, and running through what I would guess would be the first few days of this week, because they ultimately kind of need to make a decision about this, at least that part of it. Even if they're not going to hire a new manager tomorrow, it's just trying to figure this whole thing out. And back in the spring, it seemed to be a little bit more of a, all right, well, this could be the last year for Snit. And obviously the hopes were high for the Braves at that point. When everything started to kind of come crashing down around basically the entire club's ears by the middle of the season, between the lack of performance of the offense, then all of the injuries to the entire starting staff and some of the other things the Braves had to go through, I would have kind of thought that maybe that would be enough, that this would kind of be the indication that, all right, well, maybe this just wasn't meant to be, and kind of start to transition into that, you know, send-off mode, but it just never happened. And then the Braves started playing better. So that started me, I'm sure, among other people, wondering, maybe he does want to get one more of these things. I mean, this is not a long-term deal where Snit's looking to just keep managing well into his 70s, which that's where he is now, knocking on the door there. But one more year, his 50th year in the organization, and having that one final year as a manager, I think you heard a lot of Braves players say it after the season ended on Sunday that, look, I mean, they appreciate Brian Snitker, and they'd be happy to have him back next year. So that carries some value. Snit's opinion, obviously, is going to carry some value as far as his decision is concerned, but the club ultimately has to make this call because his contract is up. So they've got to sort this all out. We can talk about different candidates. We can talk about different, targets that the Braves could have as far as manager is concerned. But one thing that I do think is interesting, if Brian Snitker does come back, I just want to throw this hypothetical out there for you. Ron Washington is not managing the Los Angeles Angels anymore. He was relieved of his duties. They called it performance and not health-related. If Brian Snitker is back next year, what about having Ron Washington back on this staff to kind of get the Braves back to maybe the vibes that they were feeling a couple of years ago with Ron Washington and all of really the tenure that Wash had here? That could be of some value too. So maybe if you don't make a move in terms of your manager, make that change, you're able to bring back some of the continuity that was a big part of the club's success for a number of years with Brian Snitker involved and with Ron Washington involved.
Speaking of back or not, another decision that needs to be made. I don't know, somehow, some way, Grant, he finishes with 29 saves and a 3.21 ERA. That's Raisel Iglesias. He had an over 6.5 ERA for a good chunk of the season, and he was able to whittle it down and collect another respectable season. Even if it's not as the closer, do you think the team is considering bringing him back?
I do. I think that he will be back, and I think that he will be the Braves closer next year. If you were to ask me to pick one or the other, does it happen, does it not happen, that would be my read on it. And I think that he, through the first 2 months or so of the season, was dealing with not really having a lot of normal usage. He had some struggles with that slider. He had to make an adjustment. He ultimately did. I can understand at 30, you know, into your 30s, well into your big league career, you're not just looking to scrap pitches just because, and ultimately that was a adjustment he had to make. And once he did, that last 45 or more appearances, he had a sub-2 ERA. He was almost perfect in saves. I think it was 18 out of 19 at one point, coming down the stretch. And, the strikeouts were there. The walks were gone. The homers were gone. He just looked like the automatic closer that the Braves had in 2024, one of the best closers in baseball. So, again, you're not looking at a guy who's going to be commanding some, huge multi-year deal that's going to carry him to age 40. I would think that Raisel Iglesias would be at or near the top of the list for the Braves. And one of the indicators you got that they, still valued him was they didn't just want to give him away at the trade deadline and pay him to go play somewhere else. So I think that kind of left the door open in a way as well, just from an optics standpoint. I think he's liked pitching here. I think he's had success here, and that's a guy I will be looking at to bring back. But I will stipulate, I think the Braves need to make another bullpen move or two beyond that. Raisel Iglesias can be one, but I think another couple of moves to at least shore things up. And I know Joe Jimenez is expected to be back next year. That could be big too, but kind of add to this group. Have that quantity and have that quality. I think that's something the Braves left spring training with last year lacking, and that did hurt them at times, especially in the first half.
Well, I was just about to ask you, how big of an issue was it essentially going the majority of the season, if not all of it, without a true setup man?
I don't know that that's necessarily the case, because I thought Pierce Johnson was really good in that role. I mean, missing Joe Jimenez, though, to your point, or if that's the question is, yeah, I think it definitely hurt. Is it the difference in being 86 and 76 and 76 and 86? No, it's not. But I think that, you know, ultimately you just wanted to have more quality arms and options out there. Not having A.J. Minter, and I know he got hurt with the Mets, so maybe that would have happened here. You take him off the board anyway, but I think that definitely hurt them. And losing Joe certainly destabilized that bullpen, because you wanted to have Pierce Johnson and Dylan Lee, who's a pretty good option, though he was a bit homer prone this year, needs to kind of work on that. But there were some pieces there that were still useful. They just did not have the same levels of the bullpen that they'd had in years past. And then by the time you got to the middle of the year and you got no Sale and no Schwellenbach and no Rinaldo, and A.J. Smith-Shawver's out, and then Grant Holmes goes down, that bullpen, that stress was just going to break it, and it definitely did.
Before I let you go, what and how much work does AA need to do on the starting staff? How many of the guys that are available to him that are not out for next season with an injury do you feel like are staples in the rotation, and how many spots are up for grabs?
So that's an interesting question. So I would put it this way. You look at Chris Sale, you look at Spencer Strider, you look at Spencer Schwellenbach as guys that I think you plan around. Hurston Waldrop, to me, has pitched his way into that discussion as well as the Braves' fifth starter. That, by some very simple math, has you with four starters right there. Then the questions become, Rinaldo Lopez, is he back and ready to be a full-time starter with that load again? That gets you to five. Then you've got Grant Holmes. Same question for him. Is he back and ready to take that on? That's the question they're going to have to get answered for both of those guys. They're already in Florida. They're throwing. They're hoping to face live hitters and then go home and have a normal offseason. Same thing for Spencer Schwellenbach, though he hasn't made it down to Florida yet. He's hoping to face live hitters and have a normal offseason. I did talk to him. It's been about a month now, but everything had healed up. He's pain-free. It's just a fluky, weird injury. So it's hard to project on the three of these guys. Schwellenbach, I think, is probably the weirdest, the freakiest of the bunch in terms of you just don't really feel good about it until he goes out there and time does its thing and you get further away from it and it doesn't seem to show any ill effects. But I think they still need another starter. I'll put it that way. I think that they need somebody who's a veteran, somebody who's proven that they can throw 175, 185 innings and do so in a high-quality rate. That doesn't mean you got to go out and, you know, break the bank on the biggest free agent starting pitchers. I don't anticipate the Braves doing that. I don't think anybody listening to us right now expects the Braves to break the bank in the free agent department. But can they find the right veterans, make the right moves, perhaps, you know, identify the right trade target? I absolutely think they can do that. I think they will do that. The Chris Sale trade showed us that. And by the way, that's another one to think about. Maybe extending Chris Sale is something the Braves could get into this offseason, not just Ha-Seong Kim, but maybe Chris Sale is due for one of those, because I think he wants to stick around in a Braves uniform for a while.
Real quick, just thinking about it now off the top of my head, if everything goes to plan with Kim, it looks like they should have the same position group back and ready to go next year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got healthy Ronald. You got what you needed to see out of Michael Harris. Could he be more consistent? Yes. Jerickson Profar looked good. Austin Riley, I talked to a couple of weeks ago, right before the season ended, he's already feeling like he could be playing baseball in about 3 or 4 weeks. So that's a good thing. Matt Olson, Drake Baldwin, Sean Murphy should be back in spring training. Your big questions are, can you get Kim back, and is Ozzie Albies healthy and ready to go? That's a very good position group. I know people don't want to hear, oh, well, they're just not changing much, and they're just bringing people back, and they're running it back and all that. I don't necessarily think that that applies as much to the offensive side as much as on the pitching side. They just need to make the moves to fortify what should be a talented group, but you got to stay healthy. And that's the other thing. There's just no way to accurately predict when and to who and to what extent those things are going to happen, but you plan for those rainy days, and I think that's what Alex Anthopoulos needs to do over the course of the offseason.
Grant, appreciate it as always. Enjoy a well-deserved offseason, and we'll obviously be checking in anytime the Braves make a move in the offseason. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks. Look forward to it.
All right, that is Grant McCauley there, our Braves insider. Make sure you check out From the Diamond. When we get back, let's have a little fun, shall we? It's the off week for the Falcons. Atlanta, how's your fantasy team doing? I'm 3-1. I'm hanging in. Had a rough week last week. Took my first loss. Let's get any questions in that you have about fantasy right now at C Thomas Radio. Hit me up with your fantasy questions. Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Guru, is going to join me next. We'll take your questions as well. Hit me up at C Thomas Radio with what you want to know about fantasy football. We're talking fantasy ball next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.